anxiety is the worst thing ever, but it kind of can snap you out of, like, and awaken you to be like, oh yeah, I care about life. That's definitely happened to me, and I feel like you have to recognize that when you're anxious about, like, yourself, that means you care.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 88 of the Mad Happy Podcast. I'm Payman.
And I'm Mason.
And today we have a great episode with Landon Barker that we'll get into in a bit. As always, keep following us. We have a lot of great drops coming up. The Uggs are coming out tomorrow, which you may have seen online. Please, please leave us 5 stars if you like the show. The first 10 people that leave 5 stars and send me a screenshot, p@madhappy.com, will send you something special. So look out for that. And
wow,
I'll kick it to Mason.
That is an incredible promo. Great episode with Landon. Got the chance to go to his studio a couple weeks ago and record. Didn't know much about him prior, aside from being Travis's son, and was just really interested to get to know him a little bit, talk about his music career. And it was really awesome to hear him be so vulnerable about his struggles with anxiety and his struggles with derealization, which I had no idea what that was prior, honestly, and was really fascinating to learn about. Super grateful for him coming on and welcoming us into his space, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy the episode. Before we kick it off to Landon and myself, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to our friends at Teenager Therapy. We actually had them on when we first started the podcast. I think they were our 6th or 7th episode ever, but they're doing some really, really amazing stuff. If you don't know about them, The Teenager Therapy is a coming-of-age story told in real time. It's a collection of mistakes, growth, and most importantly, a reminder that you are not alone. The podcast features a group of friends who have candid conversations about their experiences as college students. They discuss topics such as healing from breakups, losing their virginity, and feeling loved. It's a show that is meant to provide comfort and a sense of community to anyone who is going through the same issues. Listen now on Spotify and everywhere else. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Landon Barker.
Where'd you grow up, though?
In LA, but all over. Like, I started, I was, when my parents had me, they moved into a house in Bel Air.
Okay.
Together, Bel Air Crest. Mm-hmm. It's like a little gated community.
I know Bel Air Crest because I went to this this Jewish day school, Milken, which is like right above a Bel Air Crest. So there were a lot of kids that lived in there.
Yeah, so we lived there. And then my dad got the house in Calabasas, and then we moved to Cheviot Hills to go to my school in Culver City.
What school was that?
It was called Turning Point.
Yeah, yeah. I know Turning Point. I have a lot of friends that went to, like, elementary.
Really?
Elementary school. Yeah, yeah.
I went there since I went there for, like, 10 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Bad ending, though.
I feel like all the fools I know are a little bit older.
Yeah, it was
So you were bouncing around a lot.
Yeah. And then went back to Calabasas because he never got rid of that house. Went to a school out in Calabasas, like Thousand Oaks area.
Yeah.
And then, what's up to you, doggy? Then went to a school on Agora.
Mm-hmm.
Agora area. It was called Muse. And then...
never heard of that one.
Yeah, that one was cool. It was a vegan school. It was interesting.
It is interesting.
Then I went to, then I just finished in Calabasas and never, like, went back over there.
Yeah.
But then, yeah.
Did you graduate high school?
I did. I did. Nice. In fact, I definitely was, like, I during, like, the end of 11th grade, I was, like, considering, like, taking the test to finish earlier.
Yeah, the GD.
And then, like, yeah, apparently you don't get, like, the exact same, like, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think you get the exact same, like, paper,
whatever
like paper it is.
Yeah.
So then my dad was like, just finish. It was hell, and I hated school, and I never.
Dude, school's always, like, I always was so bad in school. And, like,
yeah, me
really
too.
Hated it. Like, it did. And I feel like it just made me feel like
shit.
Just like shit and, like, so dumb because, like, growing up, like, as a kid, it's just like what you think, like, matters or how you judge, like, intelligence or, like, awareness or, like, all these, like, metrics. And I just, like, I barely finished high school too. I had to go to a boarding school for, like, 11th and 12th grade. On the East Coast, and then I went to college for 1 year, and then I dropped out and, like,
yeah,
just started working.
I, like, yeah, I my dad, like, right before I like graduated, he came to me. He's like, "Yo, do you want to go to college?" And I'm like, "No." And then he's like, just sits there and he was like, kind of trying to convince me to go to college. And he's like, "Yeah, like, what about a music college? Like, there's this one, and we could just take you to tour it, and you could just see how you like it." And I'm like, "No, like, absolutely shut it down completely." And I know that it's a blessing that he even like would come to me about college, but I don't even think I would be in the, I don't even think I would have gotten as far as I am today if I was in college. Because
100%.
Like, I don't know. Like, I had my first single come out this year with major artists on it. And it's like, it's just like, I don't know. I just don't think that I could have accomplished the things that I've accomplished so far. And I really haven't even gave that much.
Yeah, it's like the, it's a tip of the iceberg still.
Yeah, I've like barely given any of my music or even like, I haven't done a lot of things, you know? And I feel like I've gone far. So I feel like it's only like a, it would only be a holdback because I feel like I can do so much more without it.
Yeah, especially because you already knew what you wanted to do. You know, I feel like college is for a lot of kids who are still just like figuring it out. And it's just like, learn more. And then if you're passionate about something, then you can major in that and all those things. But even for me, I knew that I wanted to work in fashion and sort of like express myself creatively. Right. And it was just like, all right, like, I don't need to just waste 2, 3, 4 years trying to figure that out. Like, let's go.
100%. And I think when it comes to music college, like, I mean, I feel like...
What school is it? Do you remember? Was it Berkeley?
Berkeley.
That's the class.
Yeah. Yep. In Boston, we were going to... Like, he was serious about me going and touring it.
Yeah.
But I was like, nah, like, fuck no.
What were his, like, his arguments for, like, wanting you to do it?
You could learn so much more. I don't know. But I kind of took it personally. Right. And I was like, oh, so you don't believe in me. You know what I mean? Like, kind of, like, took it that way. But... I know he didn't mean it that way. He just like, is like, I like took it as like, I just the way that I think I'm always in a rush and I'm like, I'm rushing to reach my goals.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's older than me, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he looked at it as like, in the long term, it would be better. You know what I mean? And you're so young and you have all this time. But for me, I'm like, I want to start. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to get my music out and I want to show everybody who I am, you know? But
yeah.
So it's like I feel like it was really just, it was just really something that, like, I knew I didn't want
to
go.
Yeah, you just already knew. Are you the oldest kid, or, like, had your dad sent another kid out to college already?
So, no. So, this is where it gets kind of complicated. So, my mom has a daughter.
Okay.
Who is my older sister, half-sister, different dad.
Yeah.
And her name is Atiana. So, that's my eldest sister. And, but she stays with my dad and like full time now.
That's really nice.
Yeah. For like years now she has, since she was like, gosh, I think like 4 years old. Cause that's when like my parents met. And,
her dad's just like, I'm not in the picture.
Honestly, I don't really know. Yeah. Like, I know that she sees him here and there, but
right. But like, she lives with your dad.
Yeah. She lives with my dad.
Yeah.
And yeah, and she's been like, because my dad has known her since she was four.
Of course.
Then he just started raising her, you know, because that's just how it happened. And then now, like, that's my dad's her dad, and she's his daughter as well, just as, even though, like, I don't know, I feel like that strongly showed me that, like, you don't choose your family, you know, like, but you can eventually, you know.
Dude, I literally have 4 siblings from 3 different sets of parents. And, I was adopted like when I was like 8.
Yeah, so no, it's, like, for sure.
But it's so like a beautiful, like, how you can make a blended family and just like bring different people together. But as long as like the love is there, and same, like you're under one roof, like, it doesn't matter half step, like blood, whatever. It's just like, this is my family.
No, for sure. I completely agree. I feel like, you definitely don't get to pick, but your family will come to you, you know? I feel like family doesn't have to just be blood.
Yeah. What was, because I grew up in LA too. I grew up in Beverly Hills mainly, and kind of went to private school my whole life, just because I really needed that like structure and that extra support and like smaller classrooms and stuff. I'm curious, like, what was your experience like growing up in LA? Obviously, you're still growing up, but
yeah.
Did you like it? Was it OD or what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, it was a... I kind of liked it. It was like, I mean, I couldn't imagine growing up anywhere else.
Because same, honestly.
I've like, I don't know. I've definitely like been around the world and seen different places, and I just like couldn't imagine it going any other way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it was, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I learned a lot, and it was, I feel like this is definitely the place where like I met some of like the most important people in my life, and yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like kind of getting that exposure to like your dad's world and like growing up in this celebrity sort of like fame environment, like how did that sort of craft your view of just like reality or like your like childhood experience?
I was actually having this conversation the other day with somebody, but I was telling them, I was like, I feel like I learned from a young age, like I have to be on point, you know, just because of
you gotta
the eyes that are
yeah
watching me. Like when you're in like the public eye, you can't make those like fucking stupid mistakes that you made that like everybody makes when you're like you're young, you know, like when you say the wrong thing or like just fuck up, you know what I mean? Like you don't really have
room
to fuck up.
That's
gonna
happen. It's like
it's
like,
gonna happen.
You're supposed
that's
to
why
do that as a kid. It's like
that's why I feel like with cancel culture, especially I feel like with just like you see like kids or all these influencers or celebrities or whatever, and they like fully get canceled. They're like, because they said the wrong thing or they like fucked up however they fucked up. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's like I definitely have been able to use the fact that I grew up in the public eye and like I was like on point, because I'm like, I'm not gonna, like I've just like seen it, because when there's eyes on you at all times, you have to keep your sheet clean, you know.
Do you remember a moment like where you kind of realized like that you had to behave that way, or that like my life was a little different than like than other kids, and like do you feel like that sort of
I never like had like the moment where I was like, okay, like I fucked up here, I need to wake up. Like I haven't had like a big moment. I definitely like had small things that happened, but I feel like just seeing my parents growing up and whatnot, and seeing how fast they can like people can flip the script on them and put out random blogs about them or whatever.
Right.
I feel like I was like, I didn't.
It's real.
Yeah. Unfortunately, but I feel like either way, I mean, I'm choosing to be in the public eye to this day. I could have not, like, I could have just never went on social media or like done any of that stuff, but I mean, it comes with the path I'm willing to take, you know?
Mm-hmm. When did you really decide to like take that path, would you say?
Well, I mean, like I downloaded Instagram when I was like 10 years old. So I feel like I was like, I liked the attention of it as a kid, because I could just like post whatever the hell.
That's crazy, dude. Like I didn't even have like Wi-Fi when I was 10 years old.
Really? No, yeah. I was like, I remember.
How old were you like when you first got a phone?
I was probably like, I think I was like 8 years old and I got a T-Mobile phone.
Tight.
And it only had like a few contacts on it. I think I could call like my grandma, my dad. And I thought that thing was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
I remember it was like a flip phone.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I got an iPhone. It was, like, the iPhone 3 or something. And then,
Was Instagram, like, your first exposure to, like, social media, like, in that way?
Yeah, and I remember, like, getting, like a good amount of followers for that age. Probably had, like, 10,000 followers, and I was like, well, this is kind of crazy. Like, 500 people know who I am, little did I know, you know?
Right.
But, like, it's definitely, like, interesting. But, yeah, I just took that route because my passion for music, because like it's not like you can just make music and keep it for yourself and expect it to like have the same effects. I feel like when you choose music as your passion, you want it to get across to everybody, because like whatever message you're trying to spread has to be spread to everybody, you know, if you really want the message to break through. And even if you just want people to relate to your music or just have people hear your music and get their opinions on it, or whatever your real purpose is when it comes to music, I feel like you just have to let it be widespread, because what's like,
if you're gonna do it, you gotta do it.
Yeah. It's not like you could just keep it for yourself.
When did you really decide to go all in on music and be like, this is my passion?
I like, when I was younger, I used to like have a guitar on the side of the stage while like Blink was playing, and I would like have a guitar and it was unplugged, and I would just sit there and like strum it on the side, pretend I was like performing,
like Air Style, yeah,
yeah. But like I
and that's like since you were like a
And I don't know, like, I just always loved it. And then when I was like, like 11 or 12, I like got a computer, and I discovered GarageBand, and I was taking singing lessons at the time. And every single Christmas for my dad, my Christmas present would be that. Well, I mean, flashback, before I get into this, flashback, my dad used to force me to play the drums when I was younger, so I have that skill under my belt.
Makes sense.
So I like first found like my passion music and like playing drums. Like I grew up doing like you know, like Rock Band, like the
Of course.
Like when they do like Battle of the Bands and shit, like me.
Dude,
and,
I love Rock Band. It's so fun.
Yeah, like me and like I used to do like this like after school program, and we like played Battle of the Bands and we won it twice.
Sick.
And I was just doing the drums for both times, and then the second time, I got on the mic and I performed a Drake song, and I still won Battle of the Bands somehow. And
Drake isn't very Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, right, right. But like we did like a full band version of like a Drake song, and then
That's really funny.
It went into a Drake song, and then I think it went into an Alicia Keys song.
Wow.
Yeah, it was interesting.
That's range.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I didn't sing the Alicia Keys song. My sister went on it. But yeah, we just, like, fucked around doing, like, Battle of the Bands and all that type of things. And then I went to, then I finally, like, started doing singing lessons because I realized I don't like the drums as much as I like to, like, write music and sing it.
Yeah.
So when I started doing, like, the singing lessons, the singing coach every single year for Christmas would have me and my sister do a Christmas song and put it on a CD, like a disc, and that was like his present, and it would be us like singing like a Christmas song or whatever, and then she kind of taught me how to use it, and I like watched her use it, and I'm like, this is fucking easy, because she wasn't really doing too much, she was just like clicking, playing, record, and then I started doing like more songs, like whatever it was, like AC/DC songs, just like popular songs at the time, and then recording them, giving them to my dad, even not on Christmas. Then I learned how to do it, and then I started out with rapping. So I like made a bunch of rap songs, whatever, dropped one when I was super young, wasn't a very good song. But then fast forward like 3 years ago, I found my love for rock music again, because like I just started, I like was very, very strict on, I only like rap music, I only listen to rap music, whatever. Then I found my I like found the love for it again after like going on a tour with like A Day to Remember and Neck Deep. I went on a Neck Deep tour with not like me performing, just my dad, but it was Neck Deep, Lil Wayne, and Blink.
Wow.
And so I would like hear them every single day, and I'd like, I like wanted to hate rock music. I don't know why, and like only like rap music, but then like
I
started hearing like their like music, and I was like, dude, this is fucking like undeniable.
Yeah.
All of it, you know, because like all the Blink songs, I've heard them a million times, so they don't like hit the same as like they do for everybody else.
Second nature, yeah.
Yeah, it's like almost like I've heard them so many times, but I still do appreciate a lot of their songs. But then like hearing like a new rock band, which was Neck Deep, who really like did it for me, was just really fucking cool. And then like Juice WRLD came out, and like emo rap came out, and like Lucid Dreams and all that stuff, which was like definitely influential, because Juice WRLD wasn't only like, the reason I have a theory, the reason Juice WRLD got so far in his music is because he didn't just stick to straight rap music. He made that shit like, he like combined like rock
genre
elements, you know, it's like emo rock, it's like sad music sells, you know, and I feel like that's like was another inspiration. And then like X, even I was really, really big into X, and he did it even like he dove even deeper into the rock music than like a lot of the other artists. And like Juice, even Juice like was got into it, but like X was like into like heavy shit too, you know. And so like just listen to X, and like he like really dove into it, and like he was working with my dad, and he got a song with Blink unfortunately after he passed and whatever. And I feel like I found a love for rock music in that as well. And then I just felt like it was just like my favorite type of music.
Yeah.
And it was like what I wanted to make.
Yeah. That's super cool. I mean, it seems like you've obviously kind of learned along your journey.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I could definitely relate to it. Like even before we started Mad Happy, like I have another clothing company that was like, didn't know what the hell I was doing. Like with one of my partners, like just trying to like hit the streets of downtown LA and figure it out. And it's like okay. similar to when you say that you're making these rap songs of like, you know, do I look back on it? Am I super proud? Like, not really, but like, yeah. I wouldn't be able to be here today without exactly. sort of like yeah. that experience. And I'm sure that that was kind of a similar for you.
Yeah, for sure. Just experience and inspiration, really. I feel like that's definitely an important thing.
Yeah.
Like, just like the more inspiration you get,
yeah.
the more you realize what you really like and what you like. Damn, that was whack. I should have done that. Or like, yeah, that's fucking really cool still.
Yeah.
Because I feel like shit that's cool never dies. You
yeah.
know?
Why do you think you wanted to like start with rap in the beginning? Or like, why, like, what made you want to be
a rapper
at that time?
I think that's because what was the most influential to me at the time. Yeah. Because like...
just like what you thought was the dopest?
Well, debatably, I feel like rock music wasn't as popular for like those few years.
There was a
you know
moment
what I
where
mean?
Like it was kind of like in between.
Yeah, it was like everybody was listening to rap music. If it wasn't like, gosh, like I don't even know who even like ran that shit. Like at that time, like who was the most popular? But rap music was like, I feel like everybody was listening to Drake, Future, whoever it was, Lil Uzi, like Lil Yachty,
yeah, yeah.
like all those rappers that kind of like came out,
yeah,
you know what it
yeah,
was like
yeah.
the 2016 yeah, freestyle. Yeah, you remember that mm-hmm. the XXL mm-hmm. like 21 Savage, like mm-hmm. everybody who's in that is like a huge rapper today.
Yeah.
But like all those guys were like just popping off in like 2016, and I was like, I feel like that's all anybody wanted to listen
so
to.
Sad. Yeah,
yeah, it was fucking tight as fuck.
Yeah, it still is. Yeah.
Yeah, it still is. But I feel like I like was so invested in that I didn't give anything else a chance.
What was it like about that world that you realized like this isn't me, or like this isn't clicking, or like I'm not really finding like my artistry in here?
And a lot of it too was inspiration from MGK,
mm-hmm.
because like just seeing him and like I don't know, like just seeing the way that like he like performs, and like even like his movements are just different. They're not like it wasn't like just rap, you know, like because mm-hmm. a lot of like there are phenomenal rap performers, like I could name tons, you know, but then there are a lot of rap performers who are just like over like a backtrack, just like
they're
kinda,
not
like screaming over it, you know what I mean? Like, but like when you listen to like Kells or even Avril or like just a lot of these people, and this goes for pop, and this goes for like huge female pop artists. When you really listen to like a good performer, you're like, whoa, mm-hmm. that's their voice,
right.
and perform like it's, it doesn't sound like,
you can tell, yeah,
yeah, it's like holy shit, like that touched me, you know what I mean? So I feel like it's really cool to it was really cool to just see all that, and I feel like I took inspiration from that as well.
Nice. How did you decide, like once you kind of pivoted, like what was your creative process in terms of like what do I want my music to be about, or like what I want to say, like what parts of me do I want to show? Because I feel like that's so tied into like how I express myself is so like personal and from like my mental health experiences, and I feel like the best art is really coming from the most like truthful and painful places. What was sort of like your process like there?
I mean, yeah, you gotta have to, I feel like to, for anything, you have to, once again, it has to come from inspiration.
Yeah.
And like you have to go through life to be inspired. So I feel like that was like one big part of it. But I remember like I would like, before I even like met my team that I work with every single day,
mm-hmm.
I would just work in the back of my house with this guy. His name was Sean.
Yeah.
And ironically, he like was a Young Thug's engineer.
Sick.
And like he would like come to LA every once in a while, and I would just like pay him to do like these sessions, and I would just make rap music. I remember like we did like maybe like 50 sessions that year.
Mm-hmm.
And the last session that I ever did with him, I'm like, yo, I kind of want to try some rock shit. Whatever, I did it. And like, I was like sad about something at that point. I made like some horrible ass rock song. But another thing that like I was like kind of that I struggled with at first is I was not used to making that type of music. And I didn't know how to, you know, like I really had to find my voice. I had to find everything. And it wasn't like something that just like clicked right away. Mm-hmm. It was like I have to go back in time, and like every, like I listened the other day, I was in the same room and I was with my engineer, and we were listening to like old shit. And I was like, this is rough to like go back on, you know, but it's like everybody has to start somewhere. And I like,
dude, there's no shame.
It's beautiful to see improvement. Improvement is the best. It's the best possible outcome of anything that you do.
Yeah. I feel like so many people, especially that I talked to today, like young entrepreneurs or creatives, it's like they're so worried about getting it like perfect and are so nervous because of like the social media and, like,
I struggle with that
that you're talking about is like, no, I want to like, we gotta wait, oh we gotta wait, oh we gotta wait, instead of just like
throwing it out,
coming
there.
Out and like improving as it's out there.
Yeah,
there's really like you know, as long as you're comfortable with it, it's like there's always gonna be people, like people who don't rock with your shit. It's like it's just about starting.
You want to know what I struggle with as a musician especially is I'll make something, I'll love it, give it a week, I'm like, fuck this shit, I do not like this anymore.
Yeah,
and it's like that's why like you really have to just pump it out and let it, let yourself not be the only person who really gives it a chance, because if you're just keeping it for yourself, even like if it comes to designs or music, once again, like if you're just keeping it for yourself and looking at it for yourself,
you'll
like,
find a reason to hate
you'll find a reason to hate it, and it's a single opinion, like it's always like I like to, whenever my friends, and whenever I'm with my friends and I'm like, whatever, what are we gonna get for dinner, it's like it's a group vote, you know, like it's like you need opinions, like, and that's the only way that you'll really know if like, because who knows, you might have just made like the coolest fucking thing ever,
right,
and you never gave it a chance.
Yeah,
only you like looked at into it.
Yeah,
you know,
I know you mentioned your team. I know team for me is like such a huge thing, especially like mental health with like support systems and things like that. How did you go about sort of like creating your team who like you really work with?
Trial and error.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a big part of it, but otherwise, since I was like 14 to no, maybe even younger, like 13, I had this manager, and like she wasn't really a manager. She's like kind of like managed me at the time, but I don't really know like what she was managing me for, because I wasn't really doing much. But then like I don't know, I stopped having like a manager or whatever, and I was like all on my own for a long time, and like anything that I was doing, I was just doing it by myself. Right. I was still in school though; I really didn't need like,
solo garage band sessions. Yeah.
But then finally last year, like I found a new manager, and he helped me out a lot. But yeah, I feel like the most important people on my team are just like the people I make music with, and the people who run my business as as like myself or whatever, you know?
Cool, man. How, what's your experience been like with your dad sort of as you've been like navigating this or like wanting to go into music? Has he been more like hands-on, giving you advice, or kind of hands off, like letting you experience that, a trial and error? Like, how has that?
It's been a little bit of both, like, because he can't, like, I've done sessions with him, but most of my sessions I don't really do with him, and I just like bring stuff to him, because
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, so I feel like that's really what it is, because I've gone so far, I've like came so far to the point where it's like I did need that time in the beginning to like not work with him and figure shit out on my own, because like I wasn't, we're still at two very completely different skill levels when it comes to music and vision and all that. But I'm like, if he's here and I used to be here at the bottom, I'm like here now, you know, like, I feel like it's like we're
slowly inching
up. Yeah, slowly inching up, you know?
Yeah. What are you working on these days? I know you're trying to put a record out relatively soon.
Yeah,
right?
I am. I've been working for like 3 years on just music to put out, and
will this be like your debut like record,
pretty much, or? Because I had that song with MGK on his last album.
Sick.
So it was kind of like my debut, like, hey, I make music,
like,
you know,
out here, yeah.
But then I'm this year I'm going to be putting out a single in the first and early stages of next year, and then singles, and then maybe mid next year or late next year I'll put out the album.
Sick. And how's that process sort of been, like having it all kind of come together after all these years?
It's been beautiful, man. I like just every single day that I can be in here and make music is just such a blessing, because I get to do what I love and have people like care about it, you know? And I get to go back in time and hear what I made 6 months ago and listen back and remind myself of where I was mentally at that time. Have I grown? Have I not? Am I in a darker place than I was last year? Am I in a better place than I was last year? And each day, like, it's like almost like memories in your music as well.
Yeah.
You're like, damn, dog. Like, she broke my heart at that point in life.
I was down bad. Yeah.
Like, I was down bad as fuck. The song still hits. Yeah. Because, like, I think about that time.
Because it's honest. It's
yeah.
Like
or
honesty
even
will live
opposite.
Forever,
like,
yeah.
dude, I was so hyped at that time. Like, I was so excited that I just made this song. I, like, this song means so much to me. And then it, like, brings you back to that same feeling that you get, like, that warm nostalgia that you can get when you're doing what you love.
Yeah. You know? How would you say you're feeling, like, these days, like, in terms of what sort of place you're in? I know we're, like, the year's almost over. I know it's definitely a time for a lot of people of, like, change, new beginnings, etc. Yeah. Like, how's your mental these days?
I mean, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, I have good days. I have off days. I definitely, like, this year was probably one of the best years that I've ever had, but I've definitely, like, I definitely struggled with a lot more anxiety this year and, learned, like, what my body likes and what my body doesn't.
The body knows, man.
Yeah, the body definitely knows, and learned, like, how you kind of just have to take care of yourself or else, like, you can go down a dark rabbit hole of, like, I don't know, just extreme anxiety. That's what it was for me. Extreme anxiety, OCD, depression, whatever it is, you know, and even disassociating. It's something that I really struggle with.
Yeah, that's huge.
But yeah, I feel like you just you definitely know what your body wants, and it's important to prioritize what your body needs and wants.
Do you remember, like, when you first started feeling sort of, like, anxious or depressed, and, like, what that, like, looked like, or, like, how you knew, like, how to, like, identify it?
It was after a hangover, like, where I got really drunk the night before.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, it smacked me in the face, and I was, like, super, super anxious, like, for, like, a week on end. And then I, like, got into a weird cycle, and then I, like, it was like an awakening. Like, you have to snap out of it and get back on your shit, because you understand how shitty this is making you feel right at this moment. So like, don't put yourself in that position again, because then you'll just go into, like, an endless cycle of just feeling like shit.
Yeah.
And life is too short to spend your time worrying. And it was because my anxiety gets so bad to the point where I don't want to leave the house. Like I get sick and I just, like, don't feel good, you know? But, like, why do that to yourself? If you can prevent it, you know?
Like, that's, and, like, letting the anxiety win, basically.
It's letting the anxiety kick you when you're down.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's a good choice to make for anybody.
Yeah, dude. I mean, literally my biggest, like, rock bottom of my life, probably, like, I literally got sober after this moment, which I've been sober for over 4 years, was, like, after, like, a hangover where, like, I woke up and I, like, completely blacked out the night before. Like, I made some mistakes. Like, my girlfriend left me. It was, like, I just felt like such a piece of shit of, like, I let these substances and, like, these external things, like,
it's fucking horrible,
that just, like, have such a big impact on my reality. And it was, like, I did that. I, like,
and then, you know, what, like, for, like, weeks on end,
right? Like, the self-sabotaging, like, behavior. And then, like, you just have to sort of, like, sit with it. And I'm just like, yo, like, this shit, as good or as fun as that can be, like, this shit is just not worth it.
It's,
like,
not the fucking vibes at all.
Yeah.
And the worst cycle that you can get in ever is you drink, you feel good. The next day you don't feel good. And then you drink again, you feel good for however many minutes or days that last, and then you go back. That's the worst cycle that you could ever possibly get into.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, people who struggle with alcohol, like, I definitely feel for them, because that's could become, like, anybody's really fucked up reality if you get into a cycle where you're only happy when you're using a substance of any sort or type.
Yeah, I mean, the most, like, I love how you said that this year was, like, one of the best years of your life, and also one where you were, like, maybe the most anxious, because I really think that, like, having hard times and, like, loving life actually do go hand in hand, you know? Like, that's literally what, like, mad happy means, is, like, we're gonna have, like, great days and shitty days, and, like, that's what makes life so amazing. And it's, like, for us to really, like, work on ourselves and get to know ourselves, it takes that, like, vulnerability and that sadness. And when people aren't willing to do that work, that's when, like, you only find joy in, like, drinking, and, like, that's when you have to go find these, like, external things. But when, like, we can really, like, kind of reflect and, like, go in, like, that's where we really kind of, like, see the full picture of life, you know?
100%, and I completely agree with that. And I really think that you have to have the bad days and the shitty days and the horrible feelings and and the sad days, whatever it is, to experience happy days.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you were at a consistent happiness, like, it doesn't get higher.
It's unrealistic.
It's unrealistic, and it doesn't exist. So, like, for you to really, like, value those like precious moments of being happy and being proud of yourself or or whatever it is. You have to have down days too, because then you could really see the difference and
100%
continue to go in that direction. Yeah, you're right. You can't, it's impossible to be at a consistent high, but you can at least do things to try to get to that point, you know, or like even get closer to it, you know?
Yeah. What happens for you when you like know you're maybe have depression that's coming on, or I'm feeling anxious, or like, how does it like manifest, or what like makes you aware of like that's happening to you? Because I feel like for a lot of people, they don't even like know when they're anxious or like what it is or what's happening. Maybe they think that they have like heartburn or a headache or that they're bloated or whatever, when it's really anxiety. What is it like? What has it been for you?
Okay, so I've like been in two different mental states before. I've been super anxious, and this is so weird to me, because I've been super anxious to the point where it's like I'm really concerned about my health and if I'm gonna be okay, whatever. And that's like anxiety about health and all that type
of
things.
That's with like OCD and paranoia.
That's like
too, yeah.
That's also a deep down sign of you giving a fuck, you know, about, you know, like about your life, about,
you care.
Yeah, you like give a fuck. Yeah. Like, that's why like, it's kind of good to like know that you care about yourself. Cause I've also been at the point where I'm like, I don't give a shit what happens.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so upset right now.
That's
like,
that's the depression. Yeah. Like, I don't need to like shower. I don't need to take
I don't
care
give
of myself.
A shit.
I don't need
like,
to eat. I'm not like,
yeah,
all that stuff.
You're like, I could,
this could
whatever,
be
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It can get like, but I've been both of those places before mentally, and it's like, it's almost good to look at your anxiety when you have those type of things to remind yourself, oh, I do fucking care.
Mm-hmm.
And like, sometimes like anxiety is the worst thing ever, but it kind of can snap you out of like and awaken you to be like, oh yeah, I care about life, you know? And even if that's like, some people, it's like way, like it hits them way harder for them to realize like they have to, like something has to happen to them for them to wake up and be like, damn, like life is precious, you know? And I feel like that's definitely happened to me, and I feel like you have to just recognize that, like, when you're anxious about like yourself, that means you care, you know? And a lot of people don't care, so I feel like that's like something you need to
It's honestly such a great way to look at it, because I've really struggled with both, and I've never really thought about that, of like depression is like the I don't want to be here anymore, like nothing matters, and anxiety is like the you're hyper alert of like why, like I care so much about this, and then this is gonna happen, and then what's gonna happen with that, and like all of that, of like,
and it
really
fucking sucks
being
but,
in reality and like spiraling in life, whereas like depression is just so like isolating, and it's just like spiraling down.
It's definitely not fun, but anxiety, I mean, I'm not like taking anything away from anxiety, you know, because anxiety is just as painful, but it definitely means that you give a fuck, you know?
Which what have you learned in terms of like coping mechanisms for yourself? Have you done like medication or therapy, or like how do you sort of cope with those things when you're having a tough time?
So personally for me, I've only done like therapy, which was semi helpful, you know. I liked it sometimes I don't. But A lot of it is like sobriety is like definitely important for that type of stuff, because if you're a type of person that struggles with anxiety, and it took me like that day I was talking about when I like woke up anxious as shit from being hungover, like it makes it 10 times worse, you know what I mean? So like alcohol makes that shit 10 times worse. Same with like smoking weed, 10 times worse. If you're an anxious person, stay away from that type of shit and like it's not worth it. And working out is like something that helps you, even though I can't talk because I'm not quite the one to be working out. You won't catch me working out, but I have been in like a good cycle of working out before too, and I was like really clear, and like
you'll feel
fucking
good,
you feel
sweat.
Feel fucking really good. And eating well, I feel like is also, when you don't eat you get really anxious, and I've noticed that for me. Surrounding yourself with happiness and positivity and people who make you feel appreciated and happy helps a lot, because when you're in a situation with whatever, it could be your friends, and they don't make you feel like appreciated, or they don't take your passions or your happiness seriously, or it could be your significant other, whatever it is, you know, you just have to make sure that they appreciate you.
Yeah, like,
because you feeling be unappreciated that, like, and to, yeah. unvalued is like the fucking worst too, you know? Because then you're anxious. Oh, like, do my friends really like me? Does she really like me? Does he really like me? You know what I mean? It's like
just like negative you gotta, like, loop.
You
in your
you
head,
can't yeah. you can't do that because I feel like anxiety just causes like, more anxiety.
Yeah, I want to go back to what you said about therapy. I know you said you kind of liked it and didn't like it. I feel like that's such a taboo topic that so many people are really like scared to try, or they don't know how to find someone. Like, what sort of did you like about it, and what were some of the things that didn't really work for you?
So the problem with me is I only went to therapy when I needed it. And I feel like for therapy to work, you have to go to therapy when you don't need it. You know, like on the days that you're fucking happy as shit and you're having a good day, still take those 30 minutes out of your day to go and get some therapy and talk to somebody about everything. Because if you're only doing it on when you need it, and it's like a mental emergency, a mental health emergency, I feel like you have to, it's not going to work as well. Like, if you're going to start therapy, like, do it every single day, or do it like even consistently good and bad days, because you won't have those tactics to use if you don't use it on a good day. Because personally, when I'm having a panic attack or whatever it is, I'm not listening to what the fuck anybody's saying. Like, breathe. No, I'm not, like, I'm like, I've like gone to the point where I'm like splashing cold water on my face. Like, I don't care what anybody has to say, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's something you really have to think about if you're going to do therapy, I feel like.
Yeah, that's like a somewhere where I feel like physical health is still so much further ahead of like mental health. Like, if you waited to work out until you were overweight, it's like it's too late, right? Like, it's about keeping like the routine and kind of doing it no matter what, and just baking it into a part of your life. Where if you only wait until you're in an episode to seek help, it's obviously going to be like so much harder to like find
so
a
much
baseline
harder.
Like that you can regulate.
I feel like another thing I want to touch on back to like anxiety is dude, my doctors have became like my best friends because I call them so fucking often, and I feel bad.
The homies,
but they're like my homies now. Like, they're like, how's your girlfriend, like, how's your love life, or whatever it is, or like, how's your dad, you know? Because like
that's good though. It's like
they're just like my boys now, because I'll call and be like, oh my god, I have a black dot on my leg, what is it? And they're like, it's probably just a pimple or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I just tugged my hangnail too far down. Am I going to bleed to death? Like, literally not that bad, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's how much I would call my doctors.
I want to touch on derealization, which like I've actually never even heard of until I was like looking up your story and stuff. And I was wondering first if you could just explain like what that is to the audience.
That's just fucking scary first off. Yeah. But, so that's something that I kind of started struggling with. I like struggled with it like after COVID a little bit for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's very similar to the feeling you get when you like, you're way too high, mm-hmm. like on like smoking weed. If you like smoke too much weed, you know, you can like kind of freak.
Yeah.
It's like kind of similar to that, but I got it the first time, like 2 years ago when I got COVID, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I remember walking down my hallway, 'cause like, we have like a very like, my house doesn't help it at all, but my house is like all white, and there's like a super long hallway in the middle of my house. And I was walking down the hallway, and I'm like, I felt like I was in like a third person video game. Like, it didn't feel like anything was real. And I'm just like walking, and I'm like, the fuck is this? Shit doesn't feel real. Like, shit feels fake. Like, feels like I'm like,
it's so trippy.
Like, just to the point where I could literally like, it feels like I'm in some sort of like fucked up, like multiverse where I could just like, oops, somehow like just put my hand through the ground. Like, it feels like that's how fake shit
like
feels.
Go, like, through the mirror. Like,
like everything feels like fake as shit. And then like,
it's so
I don't just struggle from derealization, because derealization is everything around you feels fake, and everything around you is kind of, doesn't feel real, doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
But I also struggle with depersonalization, where you don't feel real. And like, you get into thought of like, like, what is this? You know what I mean? Like, what is my, like, mm-hmm. why, what is, like, looking for, like, kind of, like, your reasons for, like, being who you are or what you are, you know? And it's, like, I don't know. It's so weird to, like, feel disconnected from yourself, because it feels like, it's so scary to the point where it feels like you're in autopilot. Like, you don't have control.
Yeah.
And I've done so much research on it, because I was so, like, Like, I called doctors. They didn't know what the fuck it was. They're like, yeah, I mean, we don't really know too much about it. But what derealization, DPDR, is like what like the short term for it is. Mm-hmm. What it is when it's, first off, it's a symptom of anxiety. So when your brain, it's like your brain's alarm system. So when your brain, and it could happen from depression, anxiety, whatever you're struggling with. Mm-hmm. And when your brain gets to a point where it's like too much is going on, mm-hmm. it'll disassociate because you mentally can't handle it anymore. Like you can't, you can't, like, it will hurt you.
You're
too
not
much.
Safe. It's like, I need to go
somewhere
else.
Yeah, like, I need to go
else.
Away. Yeah. So it literally, your brain disassociates you from reality.
Yeah.
And pulls you away from reality. And it's like your brain's, like, alarm system. And it's so fucking scary because, like, you want to be in, like, reality and you want to feel normal. You want to feel real. You want all of this to feel like how it always has, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that just fucking sucks and is super fucking scary. And is like so crazy because it's like was such a newer thing to me this year, and it like happened and I was like, what the fuck, like this shit, like I remember going out to dinner and just looking at the sky and everything just looked like fucking like 2D.
yeah,
so weird. And like everything, I felt like the sky could just like concave in.
Yeah,
and I feel like a psychopath like saying that, but like yeah. No, that's like really how it felt. And I've like been able to like really get out of it by just controlling like not putting too much pressure on my thoughts, you know.
Yeah.
And not putting myself through stuff that puts me in such a panic state. It's like it's really a response to fight or flight,
mm-hmm.
where you just disassociate, because if you're in that state for so long where you're like so ready to either like run or fight or whatever it is, mm-hmm. where you really feel endangered,
mm-hmm.
your brain's alarm system is just going off like, like get me the fuck away from here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty cool that like our brain sort of like has that, like I was thinking like a movie,
yeah.
where like they trigger an alarm and then like all the things,
yeah,
like
I think of
like
the flashing
security.
Light, you know what I,
yeah.
you know what it makes me think of, you know when you're going on like Jurassic Park and the
yeah.
lights start
yeah.
flashing, I was
100%.
Like, that's immediately what I think of when I say that. But
yeah, it's like, and
yeah.
and then it's funny because like I have experienced like dissociating too, and I've met some people with like dissociative
yeah.
identity disorder and like what
yeah.
that can be. And like it, so many of us in our childhood and growing up, we have these experiences that like we don't really remember because our brain was forced to kind of like check out, right? Like maybe it was like
yeah.
our mom and dad arguing, or maybe it was like getting
mm-hmm.
bullied at school, or like things like that that we don't consciously remember but are still like stored in our brain or like stored in our experiences as
yeah,
trauma.
100%.
That like that's so much of what therapy has been for me, is like re-accessing those things that I dissociated from that I don't like consciously remember but are still having like and a huge effect on like
yeah.
my depression and anxiety and things, but like which
yeah.
is so crazy to think about.
No, for sure. I feel like I haven't even thought about it like that.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
Yeah, and it's cool too because what I learned is like the part of our brain where like a lot of trauma is stored
mm-hmm.
doesn't have any concept of time. So that's how like PTSD can trigger you back, of like I could like, you know, someone could slam the door and then I could in a snap of a finger go back to when I was 6 years old and my dad used to always like slam the door, and then I could feel so anxious,
yeah.
right? And like it would trigger that memory, that experience, because that trauma hadn't been like properly processed and like
yeah.
filed away.
One of something really interesting, so I haven't done it yet, but my dad and my stepmom
mm-hmm.
And both of my siblings actually have one, but I haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
They go to this thing, it's called brain mapping.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically,
I've done it before.
No way, really?
Yeah.
I've never done it. And apparently like you go into like this room and like you watch a TV screen for like 30 minutes and like my dad described it as like you watch like a you control like the TV with your eyes,
mm-hmm.
and then like it gives you like a scan of
yeah, it's
everything.
Like an MRI of your brain.
Yeah, but
yeah.
it's not like, but it's more like of like the emotions of your brain,
mm-hmm.
and like
substance,
yeah.
the effect of substances.
Exactly.
Like
yeah,
all
yeah,
those
yeah.
things. Yeah.
And
trauma. Yeah.
Like my dad told me like his like. It was like red in certain spots and blue in certain spots and whatever, like, and I think it's really interesting. I really want to try it.
Yeah, I did that. Like, I would actually be interested in trying it again, because I did it when I was like 18 years old or something like that.
Wow.
So I'm sure that it's a little bit different, but like the guy, I think his name was like Daniel Amen or something. It was like
okay.
the Amen clinic, like showed me like on my brain of like, this is what like smoking weed is like doing to your brain. Like, that's why this looks like this instead of like this on a normal brain, or like
wow.
things like that. And I think that just totally puts into perspective like, oh man, like I need to take care of myself, or this is why I'm like this, or like it's nice to give actually like reason to a lot of these like mental health experiences,
yeah,
and, like, feelings, because then I would always just think like,
yeah, I think it's really fucking
why
cool
is this happening to me, or like all these
and like a that. Point that my dad was telling me that like the doctor made is mm-hmm. you should do one, because like if you're ever like at like a new level of like being low, or like mm-hmm. something happens in your life where you like are just feeling shittier, or maybe just your anxiety just randomly gets worse for no reason, you can go back and do another brain scan and see what changed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like another thing I want to do.
Yeah, that too. Just like, all right, well, this happened 2 weeks ago. Like, oh, well, that was mm-hmm. when I made that song or whatever. So yep. I know like what you can attribute it to, or things like that.
Yeah. You know what actually caused my anxiety to get a lot worse this year as well? I got a concussion. That fucking sucked.
Like, how did that happen?
Shit was, my little sister had slammed the door on my head, like not on purpose, but like with like big heavy doors, and it just boom knocked my
dude,
shit.
That sounds
brutal. And I just felt like I was like spinning, and I just got like a concussion.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, like this shit fucked me for a little while. Like,
yeah,
because
I
hadn't gotten,
that's a really
like,
serious thing, especially like if you get another one, it like it can be like really a detrimental.
Yeah, I mean, so fucking scary. Like, I never would really think about like how much like you should protect your head, like mm-hmm. even riding like a bike or hopping on a skateboard, like so like fucking nonchalantly, like going like fucking, I don't even know how fast, but going fast, or like going on a fucking motorcycle without a helmet, like all that shit. Like, I like have driven around my community on like this little electric bike, like popping wheelies and like mm-hmm. just doing dickhead shit, like dumbass shit.
Fuck,
and I just
around,
like thought back, and I was like, whoa, this is really like,
yeah, I mean,
mind
that's
like
they have a law that,
like you should
you
wake up
helmet,
a little bit, because like I was like, your head is kind of all you got, like your head controls all of this.
Yeah, well, I have two more questions for you before we wrap up that we ask every guest. The first one is, if you could nominate anyone to come on the show who's been a big inspiration for you, or who has a powerful mental health journey that you look up to, whether you know them or not, who would it be?
That's a really good question. I think I would nominate my dad or MGK.
Yeah. MGK, like, I was actually in a movie that that my cousin directed, and he had a lot of good stories about him.
Hell yeah. No, he's definitely like, I've heard, I watched his documentary, and I've like, and I know him personally.
Yeah, I watched that one too, yeah.
And I feel like he's definitely had a lot of demons, you know, and he's also had a lot of highs as well.
Yeah, like how to,
I feel like that's
channel
like,
the demons into like making art and like inspiring people. It's like the ultimate goal.
Yeah, I think he's, and same with my dad. I feel like my dad has struggled with things in the past, like substances, and then came out of a super dark, tragic thing that happened to him, and then like came out of it and became sober and changed his whole life around. So I feel like both of them would like have struggled with more than I have, and are just when you look at somebody who's struggled more than you and has overcame it, it's even more inspirational, because you're like, you kind of like think about what you have going on, you're like, holy shit, they did it, so I can do it, and this feels huge in my life, imagine how much bigger it felt in their life, you know, and they overcame it and are standing here today like doing better than I am right now, so I will be able to do that too. So I feel like that's really important.
No, it's amazing that like you have them as like a mentors. And then lastly, what makes you mad happy?
Makes me mad happy. I don't know. Makes me mad happy, like in the sense of like mad and happy, or like just hella
anything,
happy,
dude. However,
because
however
like you know, like you know, like you could say like the word like mad happy and like a, oh yeah, like
yeah,
he was
like
mad
happy.
Happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like me, and like
that's
he was like super
up.
Happy.
That's how
right?
I came up with the name. I was texting someone. I said, "Yo, I'm mad happy for you."
Oh shit! Okay.
I was like,
oh, music makes me mad happy.
So, well, thank you so much for
thank you
coming on the
well.
Show and just being a mental health advocate and everything you
do.
Super excited for all the new music, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed episode 88 with Landon Barker. It always means so much to us that you guys take time out of your day to participate in these conversations. They're really so important, and you know, people like Landon are inspiring so many people to open up about their own experiences. So we hope that this episode and this show continues to encourage you to do just that. As always, please leave us a 5-star review, especially if you want one of Payman's secret mystery gifts. Again, the first 10 people to leave a 5-star review and email a screenshot to P as in Paul at madhappy.com will win a special gift. I actually have no idea what the gift is going to be, but Payman really does always give really exciting gifts. And yeah, thanks always for listening. Subscribe, 5 stars anywhere, everywhere. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Wow, that was one of our best outros ever.
The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.